Today on the Travel Guys.
Coming up next in the travel news, one expert says that numbers don't lie. United Airlines is losing a quarter of a million customers a month.
At 3:17, a former TSA employee turns whistleblower, and you won't believe what he says is happening in some airports.
At 3:35, we're going to take you across the Atlantic to Italy, the land of pasta and romance, with destination expert Dick Mercenology.
And in our final segment at 3:50, you've gotten a little soggy in the rain, I think.
Yeah, here. Well, his name is Dick Mercer, but that's just not Italian enough. I don't know.
In our final segment at 3:50, we talk about the rude things people do in airports, and we try to help you keep yourself off the rude people list.
All that, and a couple of prize winners to throw in for good luck today here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yeah, and a good rainy, soggy Sunday afternoon to everyone. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. It's another episode of The Travel Guys. I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm really, really enjoying all the wet rain and the weather.
Isn't it amazing we'd be sitting around on most times, if it rained for 3 days straight in Sacramento, we'd all be sitting around, it's raining for 3 days.
Yeah, bad weather.
Yeah, but everybody is so delirious, except for the ski people, because this isn't working out quite as well for them as they had hoped. They were kind of hoping that the weather would come from the north. Instead, it came from Hawaii, and it's not really adding a lot to the snowpack.
Yeah, it's a little warm. I tell you, I don't know if I told you last weekend, when I left here, I heard noise in my rear end. The differential of my Jeep.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
Anyway, so I want to thank Scott over at Econo Lube and Brake for fixing it. I was able to actually make it in today. They did a rear end job
for me. Is that the definition?
On my Jeep.
Is that the definition of a cheap,
no.
Blatant plug
well,
on the air?
Well, it wasn't really cheap, but it was a good deal.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The plug was cheap, but the deal was good. All right.
You're back from, so everyone knows, Mark was the, see if I can get this right, the president of the National Tour Association.
Chairman, but that's
chairman,
close.
Okay. Yeah. For
one more week.
For one more week.
Yep.
And that took him all over the country in speaking engagements and lots of extra duty for someone with Sports Leisure Vacations.
Chattanooga, Tennessee last week.
There you go.
First time I've been in Chattanooga for a while.
And it's finally wrapping up, and that's why we have an opportunity to be here to do this radio show again. What did your chores entail?
I flew to Charlotte, and then I was trying to save people money, and I got cute, and it just goes to show you when you think you know what you're doing, when you think you're a travel guy, sometimes you're not. I flew to Charlotte, and then on Wednesday morning, follow mm-hmm. along with me here.
Okay.
I got on an airplane and flew to Lexington from Charlotte. That's less than an hour.
All right.
And then to do some business, because that's where the National Tour Association is headquartered, in Lexington. So at the end of the day, I flew back to Charlotte and then was getting on another plane to fly to Chattanooga, where I was going to speak on Thursday. Except that required two different tickets. I won't explain why here, but just trust me, it did. So the airline, when I checked in Lexington, wouldn't check my bags all the way through to Chattanooga. When I got back to Charlotte in the evening, you still with me? I left Charlotte in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm back in Charlotte in the evening.
Right.
The plane's a little late. We had to de-ice and stuff. So an hour and 45 minute layover turned into about an hour layover. When I got there, I had to claim my bags, recheck them, go back through security, and get on the little puddle jumper plane to Chattanooga. There wasn't enough time for all of that. So so we ended up spending it. I ended up with an extra night in Charlotte. But considering that people all over the country have been incredibly inconvenienced by weather and stuff, I really kind of felt like that. And that's what hotel points are for, you know, is when you have that little emergency and you can just go to Hilton.com and pick one out is always kind of nice, as opposed to most folks who have to decide how much money they want to spend and how far away they want to stay and all those kind of things. So it wasn't so awful. The weather in the rest of the country has just sucked all year long, all winter, because we've been so warm. The weather that we normally get, they're getting. And usually we get it from Alaska and up Canada and stuff, and we warm it up a little bit when it works its way across the country. So they're getting it straight from from the frozen north.
The polar vortex.
Yeah, the polar vortex. And if you live here for the last couple of days, you don't. You just get out your rowboat and go down the street.
Yeah, I love it. You know, what we used to call bad weather, now we're going, wow, good weather. It's raining. This is great.
You know what? I have a better appreciation, though, for the common man when they fly because, of course, you know, I'm a United frequent flyer. I don't have a lot of good things to say about United, but that is where my hat is hung. So I had to fly U.S. Air when I got back to, you know, wherever else this week, back to Charlotte. And it reminds you when you go and sit in the back of the hamster plane, you know, you meet the hamster personally before you get on the plane. Have you flown on some of those before?
I have, yeah. Well, okay, let's get to it. We are the Travel Guys, and it is time for the travel news.
All righty, let's see here. What do we have? Vice President Biden, Tom, this week spoke on a subject near and dear to my heart. He says that being in LaGuardia Airport is like being in a third world country. A quote from the vice president. If I blindfolded someone and took them at 2 o'clock in the morning into the airport in Hong Kong and said, where do you think you are? They would say, this must be America. It's a modern airport. But if I took them blindfolded and took them to LaGuardia Airport in New York, the guy would say, like, I must be in some third world country or something. I'm not joking. And, you know, I hadn't thought about it a lot because LaGuardia is really run down airport and stuff. But it gets the job done. But it's just an old facility. And when I thought about it, I read this and I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, if you blindfolded somebody, yeah, that's probably what they would think because LaGuardia really is.
Or the old Sacramento airport, huh?
Not like
the new.
I see they're thinking about maybe closing that one down. They've got budget issues. They've got money issues and they're trying to save money at the airport.
Close down A?
No, they're talking about the fact that the old airport in the South area, the old airport.
Okay. The executive?
Of just cutting it down maybe and not having... That's for private aviation, I guess.
Correct.
So they're trying to figure out how to save money. And it was a very interesting article in the paper the other day. They're talking about how they can cut things. And, well, you know, they've now got these two terminals and probably that wasn't the best idea. But, you know, they're built and they're paid for. And they're trying to cut down the amount of money that the airlines are having. By saving money, they could reduce the airlines' fees, which would improve our service because we're one of the most expensive airports in the country to fly into. We've got to get the director of the airport. I would love to get him and just do a long-time interview. All right. TSA banned carry-on liquids on flights to Russia. I didn't quite understand that. You can't take it with you in a carry-on. You can still put it in your bag, but you had some insight.
Well, yeah, here again, folks were wondering what the deal with bringing the liquid or the paste,
right.
A bottle of toothpaste. The thing is that it's not one bottle of toothpaste, but because the explosives are usually made by combining a couple of different products or chemicals or pastes, if you will. So
if they're in your checked bag, it's underneath. You can't get to it.
Yeah, you're not going
to
be mixing them too easily if they're in
like
your...
Like the guy who blew his privates off a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
And he was trying to... Okay, I'm with you there now. Did you know that airports are using dogs to lower passengers' blood pressure? Yeah, they're going to make them gate agent. No, I'm just kidding. This is Fort Lauderdale, San Antonio, LAX.
How they do this?
Miami, Bangor, Maine. They are just using the dogs. In Fort Lauderdale, they have 7 certified therapy dogs that wear red Please Pet Me scarves.
I see. Yeah,
the canines work most weekdays, and they'll even pose for photos. At San Antonio, they call it the Pups and Planes Greeter Program.
I love it. I think most people would agree that pets are therapeutic. That's been proven medically, and doesn't sound like a bad idea at all.
Hey, listen, our old buddy John Holloway, you remember him from the first version of the Travel Guys.
Sure.
I'm sure John will be joining us
Holloway
on the
Travel.
Air before too long
Outfitters.
Here. Absolutely. At packinglight.com, you can find all kinds of great things. John was writing on his website, I noticed, about taking a family vacation to Prague this summer and this fall and coming back with he brought an intern back with him, Stefan, who is working at Holloway Travel Outfitters. So stop by and say hello to them. All right, what else is in the travel news here?
What about the United Airlines
customers? This is kind of
how
interesting.
How do they do
that? Well, this guy theorizes that because, you know, the airlines have just been reporting their quarterly results here in the last few weeks. So he theorizes that because Delta is up 3.3% and United is down 3.2%, that Delta Airlines is basically taking 250,000 passengers from United Airlines a month. Now, what that doesn't take into account, unfortunately, is did United cut some of their airplanes out of the sky? Did they cut the capacity on some of the airplanes and therefore their passenger count is lower because there are fewer seats available? And did Delta increase theirs? But this gentleman's theory here, one of the media types, is that United Airlines is losing 250,000 passengers a month. And as somebody who flies United Airlines frequently, I could see where that's happening. I certainly could.
Well, there you have it. There's the travel news right after the short break. We'll be back and we're going to talk about a guy that's become somewhat infamous within the ranks of the TSA agents. How come?
He has. He did a blog and he has revealed some things that, you know, some of the horror stories apparently are true, or at least on some level. We'll talk all about it when we come back. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Radio KFBK.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Well, Mr. Romano, welcome back. We are the Travel Guys.
Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations
Tom
there.
Tom Romano with Clear Channel Radio over there.
Yeah, and the Travel Guys underwritten, if you might say, by
Sports Leisure Vacations. Yes, that means the check that pays the radio station so that we can be on the air comes from our office. Hey, listen, we have some winners that we need to acknowledge. Remember, we had a Super Bowl contest last week. I'm sorry, a big game contest last week.
Thank you very much.
And it had to do with that football game. Little did we know that the game was over while we were still in here. When
pretty
that
much.
Safety occurred on the second play, that was pretty much the end of it. But we had two listeners. We forgot last week when we were taking winners, we asked, which team do you think will win and what the final score would be? So it was our intention to go with final points, but one lady hit the point spread exactly on the money, and one lady came very close to the total number of points. So Mary and Nancy are going to split the prize.
Interestingly enough, a couple of gals.
A couple of gals, guys.
You probably didn't watch the game. They were listening to the Travel Guys.
The horse with the purple color on his...
What do we have here in front of
this
me?
This is
a pile of little...
A little entry forms. Each
entry
week
forms.
We are going to make one person who has traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations during the past couple of weeks a winner on the air. So you pick one of those the entry forms there.
Okay, with my blindfold on.
Well, you can't see them. They're upside down. Okay.
There you go.
And so this one is Florence Smith. So, Florence Smith, if you are listening and you call Sports Leisure Vacations before the end of the day Tuesday, your $50 tour certificate will become a $100 tour certificate. And we'll do that every week from those who travel with Sports Leisure Vacations. So, congratulations to Florence Smith. If she's listening, she'll win twice as much. So, about the TSA guy.
Yeah. And so you'll know the article that we're going to be referencing here, I'm guessing, is at travelguysradio.com.
It is. You can find this at travelguysradio.com. You can indeed. This is, in fact, you can find almost anything that is of major importance that you hear on the Travel Guys at travelguysradio.com. If you want to listen to an old show or you want to go back and find somebody that we talked to or something like that, you can find all of that on our website.
And this article is by Jason Edward Harrington. He was a former TSA agent. He quit, and I thought it was real interesting to read his story about how he quit and the whole process there. I guess it went pretty smooth. He thought for sure that he was going to be put on the naughty list for all of the things that he
had said. He had written a blog for quite some time, and the TSA kind of sort of put up with him for a while. Harrington says, this is from his blog site, he says about his job, "I hated it from the beginning. It was a job that had me patting down the crotches of children, the elderly, and even infants as part of the post-9/11 airport security show. I confiscated jars of homemade apple butter on the pretense they could pose threats to national security. I was even required to confiscate nail clippers from airline pilots, the implied logic being that the pilots could use nail clippers to hijack the very planes that they were flying." He talks about taking a bottle of alcohol from a group of Marines coming home from Afghanistan, and it was a celebration bottle of champagne, and how awkward it was to tell them that their champagne had to be taken away in the name of national security. He kind of paints it. He goes on and talks about, you know, guys, when they had the scanning machines for a couple of years that allowed them to see images of bodies and body parts, that, you know, people in the little room where they were secretly looking at the bodies and the body parts were secretly having a good laugh on our behalf.
Here again, everybody probably is aware that those went away, and now you're just a stick figure, so to speak. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I didn't really care one way or the other.
You know, if some guy is looking at my junk as I'm walking down the concourse or something, he doesn't know who I am. Or, I mean, I guess if that's the way that you get your jollies, why then fine. But to me, it seemed he also spoke about how they had code words for if they had a really nice looking lady that came through or something like that, that they had code words that they did back and forth. I'm going to suggest to you, Tom,
yes,
that in most public settings, when people work together, that sort of thing kind of exists. Now, you might hope that it wouldn't exist at airport security, but those people are just like anybody else.
Well, you know, the main thing is that, you know, there are laws that, if you're not careful, you could end up in the HR department, or you could be terminated for certain kinds of comments amongst yourselves. But they do go on, and I'm sure that they went on and do go on in the environment of the TSA
as well.
I'm
sure on a rare occasion here at Clear Channel Radio that a joke is had at a customer's expense, or certainly it's happened at my own company. I mean, sometimes it just happens. It's a normal human occurrence. If it's happening every day, every 10 minutes, then I guess that would be more of a concern to me. Let me, this guy, Mr. Harrington, gave a good reminder of why you should always be polite and nice to TSA officers, saying we would also sometimes pull a passenger's bag or give a pat down because he or she was rude. So next time you get a random search, realize that it might not be so random at all. This alludes to the fact that the people who have trouble at airports are people who are looking for trouble.
This is true. You know, I don't know. You're in kind of a different category because you travel like practically every day and probably know a lot of the TSA agents at the Sacramento airport by name. But when I fly, I go out of my way to be extra nice so that I won't be profiled as a person that's rude, sometimes feeling that they're probably going to say, boy, this guy's being awfully nice. Maybe we should pat him down.
I don't think that's the case. I think that the best I agree with you. I think the best policy when you're going through security is go out there with a positive attitude. Be nice to people. It's something that nobody, I think, particularly enjoys. I'm going to suggest to you that, as this gentleman pointed out, he didn't particularly enjoy some of the parts of his job. But I'm also going to suggest to you that if apple butter becomes the one thing that's not inspected, why, then it won't take very long for bad people to figure out. I mean, I think there's a certain percentage of this that comes with the territory. I think that it's not good if people sit around and make fun of average citizens and stuff like that in a job where they're not supposed to. But it doesn't effectively change my life.
You know, recently when I flew, they have now the pre-screened area,
yes,
out of the Sacramento airport.
Pre-check. TSA pre-check.
Yeah. Is that still going on, and how does that work?
It is. That's causing a lot of confusion for some folks, and the reason is because there's not enough instruction. The TSA has done a really good job of letting people know over the years that they've been in existence of how to get through security, and if you flew even once a year, you kind of knew what the system was. And what they're doing now is they're taking people, someone like me, who flies all the time, maybe asked, I'm automatically in the pre-check line. So that's where I go. But what they're trying to do is randomly pick other people from just the jet who don't have that on their ticket and saying, here, you go over here. Well, what happens is people get in that line and they don't realize.
They don't know what to do.
That they don't have to
take
their shoes.
They're still taking their shoes
their
off.
Belt off.
They're still taking their belts off.
Don't have to take their laptop out.
Yes.
They don't have to take their 311 things out of their suitcase. In other words, you pretty much take your cell phone and big pieces of metal off your body and then walk through a different type of metal detector because you have been pre-screened.
Yeah, people will get used to it after a while.
Well,
and it'll be better for everyone.
So if you get to the airport,
yeah,
and you're directed by a TSA person to go to an area that looks like that's different and it says TSA pre-check, then you'll know that you don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take off your belt. Of course, if you're over 75 years of age, you can go through a special screening where you don't have to take off your shoes. Children don't have to take off as many things. So pretty soon we'll accept everybody and then nobody will have to go through security. But but there are some ways, if you get that pre-check thing, why, ask a couple of questions and the TSA folks are there to help you. And we've already done away with the machines that allow them to see your pee-pee, so you don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Well,
okay.
After the news, we're going to talk about Italy.
We will. We'll talk with an Italy expert right here as the travel guys continue after the news. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Romano. That's Mark Hoffman. We'll be back.
Well, have you traveled to Italy? Have you really experienced Italy? Well, after you listen to our next guest, you may rethink that. I'm Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations there. Our special guest, we might want to call him Mr. Italy. Richard, also known as Dick Mercer, president of a company called Experience Italy. Dick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. How and why did you pick Italy as your special project?
Well, I fell in love with an Italian, and she's kind of my net funicello, and she just picked up tap dancing lessons just recently.
You can see it's Italy is all about passion and romance, and here, Tom, we have a perfect example right off the bat.
Absolutely.
So, Dick, your passion for Italy has led you to go to the country 50 times. When was your first trip to Italy?
First trip was in 1984. Basically got started. My kids were going to Italy to meet relatives in 82, and I'm dragging the suitcases across the lawn in a hot August day in Sacramento. They're going to have Parmesan cheese domestic, and I have to go down the store and buy the imported. They're going to have prosciutto, and I got to get ham. And they're going to do veal, and I'm doing hamburger. Something wrong with this picture, so I figured out a way to get there.
Dick, if I were to come to you and say, I'm thinking about a trip to Italy for my family, and help me with I want to go to a couple of destinations and spend 4 or 5 or 6 days. Which destinations would you recommend? What do you think are the two best places to put together for an itinerary in Italy?
Actually, you really need to know the basis of everybody in the group. You know, everybody should get something out of the experience. Maybe not each day, but something kind of mix it up. If you told me only 6 days, I would say Florence, Rome, if you've never been there in particular. If you've been there, then you have some other choices. Venice is my absolutely favorite place to go. But it is so unusual in any place in this world that if you were to skip it, you're not skipping Italy, you're skipping Venice, and you would go back to go to Venice.
Dick, is there some urgency in getting to Venice? I understand that they're having some issues there with the global warming situation. Is that causing some problems?
Yeah, that is definitely, it crosses my mind, not every other day, and I'm thinking about what I think what they're going to do is they're going to let go of the ground floor and they're going to move into the upper floor.
So, wow.
if you think of it this way, that the nobles in Venice actually have a term. It's called piano nobile. That is the nobles' floor. It is not on the ground floor. It is on the first floor to Italy, to Italians. It's the second floor to us. So if you're in a palazzo, you're going to be walking upstairs to that first floor to them.
We're talking with Dick Mercer, who is the president of Experience Italy, on the Travel Guys this afternoon. Dick, let me ask you, the Pope is getting a lot of press in recent weeks, perhaps in making more folks interested in a visit. You mentioned Rome, in a visit to the Vatican. Tell us a little bit about what is entailed in arranging a visit to the Vatican.
Well, you have to go through metal detectors. There is going to be some lines you have to go through.
Are there tickets required in advance, or is it just a place where you can just show up and get in?
Well, if you want to see the Pope and he's in town, you go on Wednesday, so you have to get tickets for the audience. And if you're out in the main piazza, you spend a couple hours waiting for him. Then he comes out, and you're sitting in the sun. If you wanted something a little short and sweet, you go on Sundays and you stand in the piazza. He comes out for about 10 minutes and you walk away with a blessing. I mean, for me, that's the better way of going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to get into actually see the Sistine Chapel and actually see it, we have this unique, and it's a matter of logistics. We have our guides meet you at the entrance of the Vatican Museum. They get there at 6:30 in the morning. You get there at 7:30 in the morning. It opens up at 8, and she runs you through the museum, so you're in the chapel with a handful of people.
What would you tell somebody who's getting ready to plan a trip to Italy? They're thinking about doing it themselves. Why should they enlist the services of a travel agent or another expert such as yourself?
I think you need somebody to assist on the logistics. And we do offer that service where you can sit down with us and we will work through the itinerary. There are concepts about the size of the country and how long it takes to get to point A to point B, and the realistic expectations of being able to do how many things in a certain period of time. I mean, that's certainly going to help. And what we do is actually, after 50 trips, I have a network of people that we work with. So when we send a client, I'm sending to people that are part of the family, if you will. They're a network of suppliers to Experience Italy.
Dick, there's a lot of things to do when you go to Italy. Before we finish up, give me, from a protocol standpoint, a couple of things that you don't do. Don't what?
Ooh, good question. I think
faux pas.
One of the things you don't do is you don't bring wine to a winery.
There you go. Okay. Richard Mercer, president of Experience Italy. Information at experienceitaly.com. Is that right, Dick?
That's right. And if you wouldn't mind, we are having a seminar on March 11th at the Quarry Ponds Center at 7:30. All the information's on, or 7 o'clock, excuse me. And all the information's on our website.
And thank you, Dick. Mercer Thomas, with a name like Romano.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amore.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, wait a minute. The phone is ringing here. Listen, a reminder to sports leisure traveler Florence Smith that her name was the lucky one drawn today. Hint, hint. If you call the office in 2 days, you double your prize.
There you go.
On the phone with us right now is road reporter Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations, who coincidentally is the company that underwrites this program.
That's correct. Hi, Clayton. How you doing?
Hey, Mark and Tom. I am wonderful. It is warm and sunny in the South.
Ah, well, we can fix that. We can change that in a couple of days. Just stay there for a couple of days.
That's what they're saying. But so far, up in North Georgia, we had in the 60s today, and it's just been beautiful.
Mr. Clayton, were you on the phone there listening to our Italy gentleman?
Well, I absolutely did. When Dick came on, I thought it was my duty to call in and say hello to you boys and remind you and all our listeners that Sports Leisure has a trip planned to Italy this coming fall.
To the Sports Leisure to Italy?
Absolutely. September 14th through 24th.
And you're going to be the, are you taking them?
I am indeed.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Going to be all the main attractions. I was so glad to hear Dick talk about his favorite places. I couldn't agree more. Florence, Venice, and Rome are definitely the places that people want to see. We'll be 2 nights in Venice, 3 nights in Rome. And then rather than staying in Florence, we're actually going to be staying 4 nights in a Tuscan resort town, Montecatini. And from there, we'll visit Florence, Siena, Pisa, and Cinque Terre.
Now, Clayton, you sound like a guy who is, especially from your pronunciations and stuff, Dick had been to Italy 50 times. I know you haven't been there 50 times, but it sounds like you've been there a few.
Well, he's definitely one up to me there. I have been, I think, 6 times. As you know, I'm a Franciscan, so going to Assisi is one of my big things that I love to do. And I've also had the pleasure of taking a number of sports leisure tours over the years. So I know the country pretty well and love to show it off. And to answer Tom's question to Dick, what's one thing not to do in Italy?
Yes.
My advice there would be don't be in a hurry.
Okay.
You're not in America. They don't have fast food. Even McDonald's is slow in Italy. But it's not because they're rude or they're inefficient or anything like that. It's just that they move in a very at a very different speed, and they relish times of coming together like meal times. So nothing happens in a hurry in Italy. So if you slow down and enjoy yourself, it's one of the best destinations in the world. Definitely one of my top 5 international favorites.
Now, I understand you've already booked about half of this trip already, have you not?
Yes, we did. We introduced this program to our sports leisure travelers in our most recent newsletter and on our website, sportsleisure.com, about a week and a half ago, and I already have 14 people signed up, so that's half the trip right there. So if anyone is interested, again, I encourage you just to call the office or go online, read the information, and through the office, folks can get you in touch with me, even out here in sunny and warm Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton. Appreciate you taking a minute to give us a yell on the telephone.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
All righty.
Thank you.
Road reporter Clayton Whitehead. How about that? He was, I'm sure he was on the iHeartRadio app listening to the program and decided that here was an opportunity maybe to pick up a couple more people for his Italy trip in September. So,
well, we want to again thank Dick Mercer for being on the program, and Steve LaRosa, our local road reporter himself, for helping hook us up with Dick.
Absolutely. And if you want more information on Dick's seminar and what he does for Italy or on the Sports Leisure trip, you can go to travelguysradio.com or sportsleisure.com and pick it all up there.
I think we should head to the break with a little bit of Dean Martin and a little Italian.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the rudest things people do in airports so you can avoid doing them. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Radio KFBK.
You know?
What do you know?
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can. Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations there. I'm Tom Romano, and we're going to talk about the rudest things that people do or the things that upset you the most that other people do to you while at the airport. I know I have mine, and I bet you have probably two or three because you fly a lot.
Well, I do, but this list that Caroline Costello from SmarterTravel.com came up with is really quite good. And the point of this little discussion here in the next 5 minutes is not necessarily to beleaguer people and bother people about things they do, but rather is to help you, because I think a lot of these things that people do are done unintentionally.
I agree.
For example, first one on her list here is crowding the gate. Now, if you fly on Southwest, this does not happen, because Southwest says, okay, it's time to get up and line up, and people do, and then the next people line up, and it generally is a pretty orderly process. Whereas if you're flying, let's say, United Airlines or one of these carriers that has four or five different boarding groups, why is it that they will say at the beginning of the announcement, please stay seated and don't crowd the lanes? And that's the signal for everybody to get up and go do
crowd the lanes.
Exactly. So, but if you don't do that and you have carry-on bags and you are at the end of getting on the plane, then you're skewered. So, you know, I mean, there's a reason that people get up and do that. Okay, another one on the list here, changing diapers in public. Do we really need, we don't even need to discuss that one, I don't think.
No, that's what they have those special changing tables in the restrooms
And they even have them in the men's room, so you can even make dad do the dirty work if you need to. So there's no reason to do that in public. Walking slowly, or I will add one, walking while texting in airports.
Oh my gosh, it's so, everybody's doing it now, and they're crashing into each other, crashing into the walls.
You've got three people traveling with you, and picture this, you get off the airplane and you start to amble down the concourse, and you're not really, you know, your plane doesn't leave for an hour and a half, and you're kind of just making your way slowly, and you're effectively blocking about 80% of the access for people who are coming or going. So it's kind of like when a highway patrolman goes down the freeway at 65 miles an hour and the traffic starts to back up behind him. Same thing happens in the airport when you're walking slowly. Or worse, you're walking slowly and you're texting, which means you're weaving back and forth through different lanes, and it's impossible to predict where you might go next.
And then the people get on the in the certain airports that have the and then there's a name for them, but they're like a carousel.
Where the walking moving
sidewalk. The moving sidewalk. Uh-huh. They get on the moving sidewalk and stand there. Uh-huh. They're not walking slowly. They're not walking at all.
And they're not standing to the side.
No,
so
they've
that other
got three bags.
Uh-huh.
They're just taking a run. And the whole idea behind the walking sidewalk is that instead of walking at 3 miles an hour, you can walk at 10 or 15 miles
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, it's a very effective way to get where you're going.
And actually get to where you're going in time to make your flight.
The next one on the list is crowded. Thank you for that soliloquy there, Mr. Romano. Crowding the carousel is the next one. Now, the bags start to come out, and so everybody runs over to the carousel and crowds up as close as they can and waits for their bag to get there. And then when your bag finally comes, you have to maim or dismember somebody else standing next to you because there's no room to be able to get your bag away from the carousel.
So what should people do with the carousel?
Carousel etiquette.
Yes.
Take two or three steps back from the carousel. And that way, and when your bag comes, and you can take two or three steps up, pull it off the carousel without maiming anybody, a small child or something like that, you can pull up the handle and back away from the carousel. Now, another thing that you can do is get at the very beginning or the very end of the carousel.
So that's if you're at the, where everybody has no carousel etiquette and you need to get it done front or end.
Front or the end of the carousel are the two best places to go. Here's a kind of a cute one on the list. I like this one. Not providing customer service when you are a customer service agent. Rudest things that people do in the airport. And I have to absolutely agree with that one. Have you ever, you know, when I go to the airport, I'm generally working. Oftentimes I'm working. So it's okay to be nice to people, be professional to people, be courteous to people, because that's how you get, you know, the best results. But sometimes even that you are met with a blank stare from somebody who looks at you like you've just shot their dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting help, no cooperation, no level of anything. There's barely a pulse on the other side.
It pointed to use the machine.
Yeah.
Use the machine. I don't know how to use the machine.
Can't tell you how many times you're sitting there and I don't even know how to operate one of their computers.
Use the computer. I don't know.
But it would be just like, you know, we're two keystrokes away if you could just figure this out. And finally, the last thing on their list, and then I'll tell you mine, not knowing how to go through security, which we were just kind of talking about a minute ago, you know, not knowing what to do when you get there.
And your favorite one, I know Luis is crying babies.
My crying babies, yes. My favorite ones, rude people at airports, is actually when you're getting on the airplane. I was nailed yesterday by a guy in Chicago who got on the plane and swung around, had a huge backpack on his back, forgot that he had the backpack, and dismembered part of my shoulder. So if you're getting on an airplane with something attached to your back, Remember that it can go a lot of places and there's not a lot of extra space on airplanes. You might think about taking the backpack off before you get on the airplane.
Yeah, hold it in front of you.
That would be an excellent idea. All right. Rudest things people do in airports. Just taking a few minutes there to share some of those things.
Next week on the Travel Guys.
Next week, we're going to have Ed Perkins, one of our consumer reporters, on to talk about all the rights that you give up when you buy travel online. Ed's going to talk a little bit about that. Kind of an important subject, I think.
All of the radio shows, past and present, at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Or anything else that we discussed today on the program, TravelGuysRadio.com. I am Mark Hoffman. He is Tom Romano.
See you next week.